And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5. And Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395 6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Thank you. Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. Former Mossad chief Yossi Cohen has exposed Israel's covert global surveillance network, revealing that manipulated equipment has been embedded in supply chains worldwide. In his own words, this would enable the regime to target individuals, even American citizens. His chilling revelations come amid escalating concerns over Israel's growing use of advanced spying tools, which have been linked to deadly attacks and increasing privacy violations.
The
former Mossad chief Yossi Cohen has made a chilling revelation about Israel's global surveillance operations, stating that the regime's spy agency has embedded manipulated equipment in supply chains around the world, allowing it to target individuals, including American citizens.
Major's walkie-talkies. Do you know how many equipment, I mean, treated equipment do we have in these countries? You can't. You don't. I do.
You mean booby-trapped equipment?
Not only booby-trapped.
And spying.
Manipulated equipment, all right?
In which countries are you talking about? In
all the countries that you can imagine.
Cohen, who led Mossad from 2016 to 2021, described how Israel's intelligence agencies developed advanced surveillance tools between 2002 and 2004, which are capable of both collecting data and physically striking targets. His remarks come in the wake of a series of deadly attacks linked to these surveillance technologies, including a 2024 attack in Lebanon, where pager and walkie-talkie devices were used to kill dozens and injure over 4,000 people, including children. The attacks were part of Israel's broader aggression against Lebanon, particularly Hezbollah resistance movement. While Cohen boasted of Israel's widespread espionage capabilities, he also admitted that the regime's intelligence failures contributed to its inability to prevent the Al-Aqsa flood operation on October 7, 2023. In addition to its global operations, Cohen warned that Israel has the capability and intent to target individuals it deems responsible for what it considers as anti-Semitism, even within the U.S., suggesting the regime would not hesitate to eliminate perceived threats. This is not the first time Israel's spying tactics have come under scrutiny. In 2021, it was revealed that the Israeli tech firm NSO Group used its infamous Pegasus spyware to carry out cyber attacks on journalists, activists, and politicians, including U.S. government officials. Pegasus, which can hack into phones, intercept communications, and turn devices into listening tools, was used to infiltrate the phones of dozens of journalists and political figures worldwide, including in the U.S. and Europe. An investigation uncovered evidence that American journalists and high-ranking French officials, including President Emmanuel Macron, had been targeted by Pegasus spyware. Now, in September 2025, the situation has escalated further. U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to allow Paragon Solutions, another Israeli spyware firm, to resume its contract with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement raised alarms about the increasing power of the regime's surveillance. Paragon's flagship spyware, Graphite, provides ICE with the ability to hack into mobile phones, track individuals, and access encrypted communications. Paragon, much like NSO Group, has deep ties to the Israeli military, fueling concerns that its spyware could be used to target political dissidents, activists, and even ordinary citizens. As Israeli spyware continues to penetrate both foreign and domestic spaces, critics argue that the global spread of such technologies poses a grave threat to privacy, free speech, and individual freedoms. The use of these tools by the regime, especially with little accountability, underscores the growing risk of unchecked surveillance.
And here are our guests for tonight's discussion. Attorney activist and political analyst Zakir Ahmad Maya joining us from Johannesburg. And we also have Professor of Political Science at Birzeit University, Saad Nim, joining us from Ramallah. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Ahmad Mayet in Johannesburg. The former Mossad chief, as we know, has revealed the regime's spy agency has embedded manipulated equipment in supply chains around the world. even allowing it to target American citizens. He actually went as far as saying that. Yossi Cohen said this web has been embedded in, quote unquote, all the countries you can imagine. Your perspective on this admission?
It doesn't come as a surprise that this is the tactic of the United States and Israel. I don't think we can separate the two. I think that this is coupled with the momentum for AI and big data, and the Israelis, particularly the derivatives of the 8200 human intelligence and signal intelligence units, have all positioned themselves as tech giants and capable individuals to deliver these infiltration tools. It doesn't come as a surprise to me that Yossi Cohen is speaking about this very openly on the show The Brink, about the infiltration, because Donald Trump, if we cast our memories back, Donald Trump also utilized big data infiltration and this types of information that should be private to orchestrate a campaign to sway the vote in his favor. It was Cambridge Analytica at the time and Facebook's Meta that had sold private information and data points on individuals to influence their decision. So when we look at what is happening, it doesn't come as a surprise. What is a surprise is the appetite of democracies, as they like to present themselves, that they would love these pieces of information to be brought into their archives, to be processed, and for their citizens' right to privacy and freedom of speech to be violated. I think that becomes the bigger shocker. It's not that Israel and the United States are pushing it, but it's the appetite of the global community to purchase these forms of infiltration devices, whether it's software or devices themselves, and to use them against their citizens. That's what shocks me.
Sure. And Professor Nim, the ex-Mossad chief, he was literally bragging that Israel has installed a global sabotage and espionage network which uses booby-trapped and spy-manipulated equipment. In addition to its global operations, Cohen warned that Israel has the capability and intent to target individuals it deems responsible for anti-Semitism, even within the U.S. So, give us your thoughts on those comments, and it seems even American citizens aren't safe now.
Okay, good evening to you and to your guests from Johannesburg and to all your viewers. We've been talking about this subject, you know, not particularly this software and the infiltration, but about, you know, the nature of Israel as, you know, an aggression country, regardless where, not only in the Middle East, but everywhere around the world. And they are really so taken in their minds by the idea of security, and they are trying, you know, to be able to control around the world and to know exactly what's going on and to have an effect in each and every country around the world if necessary, and also whatever kind of, you know, justification, anti-Semitism or anything else, but it's clearly that it is a matter of control and security in order to eliminate anyone who could work against them. This is one issue. The second issue that the capability that the Israeli regime have in this respect, it's quite obvious, and to spy on countries which is allied to Israel, like, you know, the United States and even France and other European countries, it became clear that the intention of this government and this kind of regime, which is, you know, they are, you know, trying, you know, to control everything and try to eliminate anyone. And the nature of their aggression against anywhere in the world, regardless of whom and how and in what way, but they can do it, and they are willing to do it in assassination or in any kind of way, even with this kind of equipment and software that they are developing and they are also buying and using. The problem is that brings us again to the issue of that. That's why we should have the boycott to Israel, not only by the countries and the goods and products, but also especially in the high-tech technology and these big companies. We know that they have a good relationship with Google, with Microsoft, and with Meta and other companies who are, the one who can control, and they gave them access. As a matter of fact, they said against the Palestinian terrorism, but in reality they got this access to get it against the whole world. So I think now it's about time that the whole world should understand the nature of this regime and how to deal with this regime, and really, not only to boycott it, but also to have sanction on this regime.
Mr. Ahmad Mayet, Cohen said the regime would not hesitate to eliminate any perceived threats. Now, if we go back a while, this is the same man who has said in the past, quote, "We're doing everything to make sure that Israel will exist forever." If push comes to shove, the Israelis, they wouldn't differentiate between ally and enemy, would they?
Not at all. For Israel, it is about destroying and dominating anyone that provides any opposition to them. And we're seeing this consistently, whether it is Francesca Albanese, who is in South Africa, the special UN rapporteur, and the demonization of her, or on the ground in Palestine, anyone who speaks up against the occupation, anyone who demonstrates any form of resistance becomes a target of the Israelis. Now, we have seen operations in various countries and threats that have been leveled against activists both in South Africa and beyond by the Israeli apparatus and their supporters. It comes as no surprise that Yossi Cohen boasts about this, because Israel has been given a free hand. I think we have to take stock of what has happened. We have sat by and watched a genocide taking place. The world has witnessed it. The world has remained relatively silent, and the world was incapable of stopping it, whether it is the United Nations Security Council or General Assembly or any of the international instruments. None of them could bring a halt to the genocide that has been leveled against the Palestinian people. So the hubris with which Yossi Cohen speaks is also the downfall of the Zionist entity. In fact, he goes on and he speaks about this in his book, where he says that there's no plan B for Israel. He says that we have to win the battle before it even begins by instilling fear in our enemies. This is the theory of Israel. It's about terror, it's about domination, and it's about subjugation. And if it means that they have to strike an ally or those that are not involved in the direct kinetic operations, Israel would not hesitate to do so. And because of the influence and power that they have in many of these nations, establishing these frameworks of control and surveillance, Israel can continue to do what they do.
Professor Nimr, on the deadly attacks linked to these surveillance technologies, we have to look back at the 2024 attack in Lebanon, where the pager and the walkie-talkie devices were used to kill dozens, injure over 4,000 people, including children. The attacks, of course, were part of Israel's broader aggression against Lebanon, particularly the Hezbollah resistance movement. About the free hand for the Israelis, it was just pointed out, there were no condemnations from Western governments with regards to this attack, which has widely been seen as a terrorist attack.
This is a big issue, when we are talking about terrorists and terrorism, and how terrorism is being perceived. After 9/11, the Americans were talking about terrorism. Israel was talking about terrorism, and the Europeans said, "Okay, let's have a kind of a conference to define what do we mean by terrorism." And the two countries who refused this kind of conference to ask about what you mean by terrorism, it was America and Israel, because in this case the question will come: people under occupation, are they allowed to fight? Is that called terrorism? This is one. And secondly, can we also call countries as terrorists and a terrorism action by countries. And this is what Israel was afraid of, that there might some of their action will be considered as terrorism. Since it is a state, so it is not going to be accused of being terrorists. But the act itself, it is terrorism. What happened in Lebanon with the issue of pagers, it's quite clear a terrorist action. What they are doing, even in Gaza, during the not only the homicide, the genocide, and the starvation, and whatever they are doing, most of their work also in the West Bank is a kind of a terrorist action. And if that is not a terrorist, so what is terrorism? But usually in the West, they tend not to convict any country of acting terrorism, because this is a legitimate country and they can do whatever they can, you know, in order to protect themselves. And as usual, the Israeli, when they are talking about, you know, the security, and at the same time, they claim that they are number one power in the Middle East, and yet they wanted security from whom? From people like, you know, the Palestinian people or from the Lebanese people. So this is quite obvious that it is a kind of a propaganda used by them, and, you know, to influence the West generally, and especially some European countries who are totally in support of Israel. So they are not going to call that a terrorist action, though it is a terrorist action by all definitions. If you look at it closely, it is a country which is practicing terrorism against the whole region, not only against the Palestinian only, but against the whole region. A terrorist state, which is now it is dangerous not only to the region, but also to the whole world, since now we are talking about what Yossi Cohen admitted, that these devices and the surveillance that they are doing is, you know, they is talking about lots of countries around the world, and he said many countries around the world, including the United States. So it's quite obvious that when these countries started to taste the terrorism of the state of Israel, in this case, then they can, you know, maybe start thinking about it. During the 70s and 80s, Israel had committed many assassination in Europe against some Palestinian leaders, and they continue with this assassination. Any country doing assassination, this is a work of terrorism. You know, when a country start doing assassination
right
against people or against other people around.
Mr. Ahmad Mayet, staying on this situation about the Lebanon pager attacks, if the roles were reversed, if this type of attack was carried out against Israelis, correct me if I'm wrong, Western governments, they would be outraged. Mainstream media would be running with it 24/7. They would call it a genocide, a terrorist attack, and any other label they could attach to it.
Most definitely. If we just look at the narrative that has been proposed to the world in relation to the 7th of October, it has been portrayed as the worst massacre of Jewish people since the Holocaust. This is the way they have projected it. But when they commit these same massacres on a far larger scale amongst the Palestinians, these lives are seen to be as dispensable. And that is the position of the entire world, unfortunately. When 2014 happened, when the Gazans were being massacred by Israel, there was very little condemnation. There were beautiful statements from various countries, but there was no action. And that is why Israel was given the free rein to commit a genocide in front of everyone that was fully televised, was happening live, and was not stopped until Donald Trump decided it was not in his economic interest for it to continue. If the same standards were applied, and we look at the academic literature at the moment, there's a very interesting legal paper that has been issued out by West Point Military College about the legality of the pager operations and the walkie-talkie operations. And they conclude that this is an indiscriminate act of terrorism. However, this is brushed to the side, as has already been mentioned on this show. It's been brushed to the side because of who is doing it. So the United States has committed large-scale terrorism in the Middle East with its war of terror when they invaded countries like Afghanistan that had really nothing to do with 9/11. They invaded Iraq on the false pretenses, and they had intentions to invade the Islamic Republic of Iran. that is very well documented, and this can be also testified to by the evidence of the former CIA agent John Kiriakou. So when you look at these double standards, it's very clear that there are rules for the Western world and there are rules for the rest. And when it is about indiscriminate killing, it's seen as collateral damage. But when it is done in the form of resistance or any other way, then this is a form of terrorism. It's the subjective definition that the honorable guest mentioned, that the United States and Israel shied away from to confine their actions. And this is why we are sitting with the current situation right now. The United States, the Western world, and Yossi Cohen boasts about this, that they have infiltrated many devices and many countries throughout the world. It's because they are buying Israeli software. They are currently monitoring their citizens. And this is why we're seeing crackdowns on pro-Palestinian activists throughout the world right now. It's because they are all part of the same architecture and structures of surveillance and control.
Professor Nim, as dangerous as these comments are, many also would suggest taking them with a grain of salt, because Cohen boasted of Israel's widespread espionage capabilities. He also admitted that the regime's intelligence failures contributed to its inability to prevent the Al-Aqsa flood operation on October 7th back in 2023. Do you see it in that light as well?
Well, I think I have an idea about this issue, and even the talks of Yossi Cohen. He's trying to, if you like, to preserve the this power of Israel and to say Israel is still capable and they have lots of things. And especially after the 7th of October, it became very obvious that there was a huge failure on all levels. The intelligence, it was absolutely in the dark. And military-wise also, they couldn't achieve anything. And we are talking that they are fighting against, you know, a group. It's not even an army or a state. It's just, you know, freedom fighters and mujahideen. So they have to say something about it, to say, no, Israel is able to and capable of doing whatever they wanted. So it's trying, you know, to give a good, a much better picture of Israel after this huge failure. Because if you looked at it, Netanyahu speaking as well as Trump, as if Israel won and were victorious in this war during all this period, 24 months. But it is not on all levels, not in Lebanon, not in Iran, the attack on Iran, not in Gaza, not in with Yemen. So it's quite obvious that they want to restore the image of Israel as a powerful country in the region in mm-hmm. order to execute later on for Trump the issue of Abraham Accords and, you know, to have other Arab countries to join Israel or under, if you like, the command of Israel to have this kind of an alliance against Iran in the region. So this is the idea, to give back, to restore the ability of Israel or to restore the image of Israel as a big country and a strong country, and they have, you know, many means. So this is an idea. I don't know if that was the case with Yossi Cohen talking about all these kind of things, or it is, you know, something maybe beyond. Because when you are talking about just a former Mossad chief, it's not an easy to speak about all these kind of things and naming countries and talk about such a very sensitive issue just like that, unless maybe there is something behind it, just to say that we are, you know, strong, we are capable, and we can do whatever we want. And because of that, Israel is strong and it will continue to be strong, and we still have the ability to do it.
And one last question for Mr. Ahmad Mayet. Israel's spying tactics, of course, have come under scrutiny before. We can recall the 2021 Pegasus scandal. Fast forward to this year, just in September of 2025, Donald Trump allowed Paragon Solutions, which is another Israeli spyware firm, to resume its contract with ICE, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Their flagship spyware provides ICE with the ability to hack into mobile phones, track individuals, access encrypted communications. Break that down for us. How shocking is this? And, of course, talk to us about the level of support that's coming from the White House. If the support is there, how can the status quo ever change?
The problem that we are facing right now is that we are living in a world of large-scale integration. When we look at what is happening with artificial intelligence, it works off large data sets, it works off predictive models, and this consumes data at a massive rate. When we saw the United States moving towards this violation of specific privacy rules, we saw it with Donald Trump when, as I mentioned, Cambridge Analytica, and now I'm not surprised that he is allowing Paragon to utilize their graphite system to capture confidential information and utilize it and weaponize it against citizens. What this is an indicator of is that we are heading towards an environment which will be extremely dangerous for privacy and for the freedom of speech of individuals to oppose states like the United States, like Israel, to show any opposition to it. But I do think, just touching on what my previous, what the guest has said on the previous point, is that Yossi Cohen is focusing very heavily on the technological advancements of Israel, but at the same time, the limitations of these large-scale technological advancements are clear for all to see. Gaza is a perfect example of the limitations of technology, and as well as the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I think that Israel has been exposed in its weakness, and this focus on technology is just a red herring.
We're going to have to leave it there. We're short of time for tonight's show. Allow me to thank my guests, attorney, activist, and political analyst Zakir Ahmad Maya, joining us from Johannesburg, and also thanks to Professor Saad Nim from Bir Zeit University, speaking to us from Ramallah. It's good night for now.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say in front of it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. We're welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, with me, Atta, the host of this program. In the new series, we are mainly concerned with some concepts which are criticized by the religion of Islam. We'll get to the whyness and the whatness of these concepts. Why still, after 14th century, more than 1,400 years, the religion of Islam is still applicable and its teachings still can be applied in our life, especially with the critical look that Islam had at some of the problems and the challenges in the societies. For this purpose, we invited two guest speakers, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Danish. Sheikh Danish, salam alaikum to you.
Salam alaikum.
And Sheikh Fadai, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, let's get to, I call it, a modern crisis, a modern challenge and problem, and that is homosexuality. Sheikh Danish, let me ask you this question for this episode. So, one aspect of the negative consequences of homosexuality is breaking down the foundation of the family. So, socially speaking, what are the damages and the harms of homosexuality for a society? Is there any, or let me ask you this way, are there any benefits in homosexuality for a society or not?
On the face of it, what the preachers of this LGBTQ narrative say is that we are all for freedom, we are all for the human rights of these people, but what they're doing is that they are destroying their not only their own societies, but also preaching for Muslim societies and formulating. Laws in which Muslim societies also recognize these people as completely lawful individuals. But as you know, that in the majority of Muslim societies, homosexuality or LGBT inclinations are not allowed. And if a person is diagnosed as not having developed their private parts accordingly, they have to go through surgery and become a part of a certain sex.
A definite sex, that's right.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is not allowed in Muslim societies. And because of the previous discussion that we had on the basis of the Quran and the Hadith, we have clear injunctions that this is a grave sin and this is not to be accepted. But what is the result? That you are going to destroy the family life of the society. And as we have discussed earlier as well, that family is the basic root and the basic unit on which a society develops.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy society needs healthy families in which every person has a responsibility. The mother is responsible for the upbringing of her children. The father is responsible for...
They have mother and father too in the same-sex marriages, because one of them has to role-play as a mother.
Yes.
The other one has a role-play as the father. But now the case is that, but mentally speaking, the child who is nurtured under such family conditions would not believe in two different sexes with two different type of emotional system. Am I right?
Yes. The problem with Western societies is that the unit of family has broken apart in Western societies.
Yes.
There was a statistic that we shared in one of the earlier programs as well that approximately 24% of the children in a class are living with single parents, right? Or they are born out of wedlock. So that was a statistic of 2010. Now, and the average age of a relationship that is not a marriage, just a relationship, a male living with a female, was 2 years, right? And so on an average, in Western societies, a relationship lasts for 2 years. So you can assume that in 2 years, child upbringing and rearing, or tarbiyah, as we call it in the Islamic terminology, is not possible. In 2 years, a child just starts to speak something, right? And then they see that they are living with some foster parents. So what happens in a homosexual setting? You had a case of two parents who were called parents adopting children because they cannot have their own children.
Yes.
They adopt the children. And there was a famous case recently that they would do the sin with, they were training these young children to become homosexual as well.
Oh.
And they were doing the same thing with these young children. And then they were found out and
so
they had to...
this is kind of pedophile and sodomy, that's
so
right.
Basically, you are destroying society.
Society,
you are giving legal cover to destroy society, to train children in such a way that they become homosexual in the future or lesbian in the future.
All right.
So this is completely not allowed in Islam or with the with any legal system that you assume. This is not allowed.
Okay.
This is not freedom of human rights. This is the destruction of human rights.
All right.
At such a young age, you cannot give children to these people, and so they destroy the lives of these children and scar them for the rest of their lives.
Another research paper shows that the homosexual men, especially the homosexual men, which is the the masculinity of the society will be lower and lower, okay? Because the level of testosterone in the men is higher when they are facing their opposite sex. So when the level of testosterone is becoming low, the masculinity power, which is the power system of a society, at the end of the day is getting lower, and controlling that society will be easier for the governments and for the, we can say, control system of that society. This is a statistic research paper, okay? It shows that, so through homosexuality, the power of masculinity will be less and less, and then the society will become weaker and weaker and more object to being controlled and easily controlled, and we can say, that's right, at the end of the day, they can say whatever and impose whatever they like to society. Now, one major question is, so the base goal might not be only breaking down the foundation of the family, Sheikh Fadai. There are other goals too.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we mentioned in the previous program, spreading corruption is the best way to control a society. That is a mean and tool in the hands of battlefront. But I want to say that let's forget about religion. Imagine that we are atheist. I'm not talking about religion. Let's talk about human aspects. Do we think that there will be any stop point for that? Of course not. You know, even if there is, it is not the advice of religion, even if it is not a sin to commit homosexuality, anyway, we can feel and we can understand this is in our inclination that we need to opposite sex. But when you break the border, even you imagine that this is a human border.
All right.
Not divine border.
Okay.
When you break that border, you cannot find and you cannot reach any stop point. What I want to say that you cannot feel satisfaction at the end.
At the end, that's
you
right.
You can see the experience in the Western country.
Okay.
You know, always they talk about experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, we do not accept divine sciences. So you don't accept divine sciences. And always you focus on experimental sciences. So what was the result of that experience? Did you stop? Can you stop? No. For example, drinking and eating, this is a need in our inclination, and we're not talking about religion. But if you start to eat more than your need, and in a wrong way, always you want to try new food. Every day
yes.
you said, this is the previous food that I had yesterday, I want a new one. Like some kids, they say,
diversity inclination,
always
that's right.
Always a new one, a new one. So what
yes.
is the stop point?
All right.
At the end, you reach a dead end. You don't feel satisfaction because you say, so I experienced opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now I am experiencing the same sex.
All right.
What about the next level?
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Now, sorry to be straight, dear listeners, but we have to say that even they dare to say some of them are bisexual. I mean, they have inclination towards both sex. Okay, I don't know what type of a style is this. For example, one day living in the same married family and the other day in the opposite gender. So now the problem is that the people with such mentality, I mean, for example, having same-sex marriages, how can they cherish a child for the future of a society? And a family, okay? I mean, for instance, consider a daughter, a girl, who is being nurtured by two men in a family. Is it at all possible?
No,
or, for example, a boy by two women.
Two
is it at all possible? What characteristics am I nurturing in that child?
No, before answering this question, I want to focus on the first part of your sentences. The first part was that some people have some problems.
Yes.
You know, nowadays, the people just try to make a lot of excuses. So this one, at the beginning, they didn't say that this is a right. They said this is an illness.
Uh-huh. They call it a kind of difference.
Physical problem or a mental problem.
Yes.
But let's stop here. Can we say that every physical or mental problem should be free to do whatever they want to say? For example, if I have this feeling,
like a person
mind,
has schizophrenia, you know?
Yes. I like to kill people.
Yes.
This is my mental problem. So let him do whatever he want to do.
Of course, United States of America, it is allowed to go and kill the people through shooting. You know, school shooting is something
because
very much
that,
rampant.
They allow everything now.
Okay.
You know, we cannot say every mental and physical problems
is allowed.
Should be free, and the one should have access to his desire, whether it is wrong or right.
Okay.
So if it is a problem, it should be cured. Yeah, as you say, some people has both desires.
But Sheikh, they do not consider it as a disease.
Yeah,
they consider it as the nature.
No, you know, this was the beginning point.
Uh-huh, okay.
The beginning point was to consider it as an illness.
All right.
They said that, you know, they used to say...
As a deformity, mental deformity.
Accuse them, they are ill. That was the beginning point.
All right.
Now they reach here.
Okay.
So if he is ill, if she is ill, this should be cured, not to be free. So this is about that. And then about family. You know, family is the base of a successful society. If you want to have a good society, you have to make a successful family. And if you destroy the base and institutes of, we can call it an institute, the family.
Yes,
you
that's
will
a foundation.
Destroy
yes.
The foundation. You will destroy the society completely. Well, like the example that you said, a child which is born, who is born in that family. You know, we want
even
to
cannot
say,
be born. Sorry to say that, but even the same sex family cannot give birth to the child, because at the end of the day, if there are two ladies, one of them has to refer to the sperm of a man.
Yes.
And the sperm has to be inserted
Imagine
into the
womb. That they brought a child from laboratory.
Or adopt a child. Okay.
But anyway, you know, this child, by his or her inclination, needs a mother and father.
Father, that's right.
You can change physical aspects, but you cannot change the inclination, which is fitra by God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if you adopt a fish.
All right.
Can you change the inclination of swimming? Mm. If you adopt,
a dog.
A dog.
Or a cat.
You know, anyway,
at the end of the day, it will bite.
Anyway, you know, you cannot change the God's
I know what you mean, the nature. That's right.
The nature. Mm-hmm. You can change the rules in this
in
world.
The society.
But anyway, this one needs a mother, which is a woman, and father, which is the
man. That's right.
And you cannot change that nature.
Okay.
By your laboratories, by your experiments, by your rules. Nothing. Science cannot change the nature which is created by God.
All right. They're trying very much through different things, you know, surgery or something like that. But as you said, at the end of the day, they cannot change the mentality because they cannot do the surgery on the brain system.
Okay. On the soul.
On the soul, yes, that's right.
Maybe they can change the brain.
The spirit cannot get into the operation system.
But the commander of that brain is soul.
Yes.
The soul is out of our access.
All right. Okay, that's it. So, Sheikh Danish, your final remarks regarding this point. I mean, the negative effects of homosexuality for the society. Sorry to say that, but even some Muslims and Muslimah, nowadays you can find on the social media, who are talking about such homosexual inclinations. Are they deceived or it could be part of their nature now?
Right. Regarding this being part of nature, one of the evidences that these people quote is the genetic part, or for example, they try to paint that this is genetically transferred and this inclination is genetic and it has been received from their parents. So there was a recent study in this journal called this American journal called Scientific American in 2019,
all right.
It says that no single gene associated with being gay. Uh-huh. Right. So this claim that homosexuals make that there's a genetic problem that these people have uh-huh. is refuted by this study.
Oh, by the science itself.
Yes. Okay. Scientific American says that there is no evidence that we have till now that there's a specific gene that homosexual or lesbian people have mm-hmm. that other people don't have. And another way of refuting this claim is to say that from parents
all right.
who were not homosexual or lesbian, these people are saying that we have received these genes. So it is impossible that parents who have, who themselves don't have this gene, how will they transfer it to their parents? Of course, there could be possible mutation,
right.
but the Scientific American Journal is basically saying that we have received
okay.
no evidence or we have found no evidence that there is a specific gene.
That's right.
So what comes as a fact to us is that till now they have no evidence to claim that. But as Sheikh Fadai also mentioned, this should be treated as a disease, and this should not be, according to the scientific evidence available, the cultural phenomena of supporting the family, and the religious inclinations also that we have, or the religious guidance that we have, this is not an acceptable inclination in whosoever it is
That's
from.
Right.
And so societies need to frame laws in such a way that these inclinations are not supported, but in fact, these people are cured and they are able to choose one sex and become members of one sex if
okay.
they are found to have deformed private parts at birth.
You know that HIV, also known as AIDS, mm-hmm. was transmitted mostly through same-sex sexual intercourse.
Yes. Yes.
So, and the Western country knew that absolutely. And also, through other scientific researchers and the papers that were done, both the body of men and women need each other through sexual courses because a special hormone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, they are being created to complete each other.
True.
I mean, and it is something like, for example, you cannot see all black or all white. Hmm. Black and white are going to complete each other. This is so about the marriage with the opposite sex. Women and men are going to complete each other. And through this completion, the children are born, the family is made, the society is made. And at the end of the day, this family is going to take you to the very soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
True.
And they are publicizing it through their own medium. What? Hollywood movies,
yes.
actors and actresses who are given Oscars, themes that are very much pro-homosexual. Every year at the Oscars, there is one movie nominated with homosexual theme, whether it is documentary, animation. Even Bob the Sponge was called by the director as being called a homosexual. This is really crazy, okay? I mean, this is so. So if it is an illness and it was hidden in the society, why now it is being publicized through actors and actresses who are famous or the singers?
Now, if you oppose homosexuality in some Western
yes.
countries, you will be put in jail.
You will be put in jail, unfortunately. That's right. Okay. What yes. do you oppose them directly?
So, what we can say is that there's, as we see in many other topics,
yes.
there's a satanic agenda
behind it. That's
behind
right.
all of these things. And as Sheikh Fadai mentioned, that once you spread facade and evil and corruption on the land, it is easier to control society.
Yes.
So what we see is that basically the elites want to control society through spreading this facade and evil.
So-called Satans and not the elites.
Yes.
Okay. Elites of the society.
The elites, the satanic
yeah, the
elites.
The satanic elites, that's right, which is dangerous. Because an alim without amal, who is under the satanic temptation, is more dangerous to its society. That's right, than the Satan itself. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai, Sheikh Danish, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to us. For more information, please visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Aquí Teherán, la voz de la República Islámica de Irán.
Estimados oyentes, ahora escucharán las aleyas 9 a 11 de la sura de Hud del Sagrado Corán, recitadas por el señor Baghefi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً